Bruce, lead us in prayer.
Our Father and our God, thank you for this day and for another opportunity to gather together.
Amen.
Lord, we do thank you for your word.
Yes.
Thank you for men who love it and who speak to it. Forgive us ears, Lord, to hear these things. And Lord, how wonderful it is that we do lay aside the things of the world and come together to worship you, to sing these hymns, and to hear your word. And Lord, we do lift up those that, like Rain and Brother Jimmy,
yes,
Lord, others that we know of who have these afflictions and ailments. Lord, and then those our loved ones who are outside of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we do pray for all of them.
Yes.
We pray for good health. We pray for prosperity. We pray, Lord, that you would open their eyes to those that are outside of your kingdom, and that they would see the beauty of holiness and righteousness, and understand more and more that there is a God. Bring them in that they worship you as we worship you.
Yes.
We thank you for this day. We thank you for the peace that surrounds us. And Lord, we pray that you will be here with us and guide our pastor as he speaks to us. Open our eyes, our hearts, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us. Mm-hmm. And may our attention be on the message. May it please you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Amen. We'll begin with Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and then go over to Romans chapter 14, and we'll be reading verse 17 there. The Romans chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 are probably familiar to us, and I trust that Romans 14, 17 is familiar to us. But in this Isaiah chapter 9, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, according to his good pleasure, according to his will." Baby. So we're
in his own time.
Huh?
In his own time.
In his own time. Yes, that is correct. Everything is according to his own time. And if that time is infallible, we're talking about then kingdom. Mentioned it in your prayer,
mm-hmm.
Bruce, and we're always talking about kingdom. The kingdom of God. There is a kingdom, and there is the kingdom, right?
Yeah.
And that, again, is what we are always considering, and yet how little do we actually talk about the kingdom God. We do talk about, though, Jesus as Lord, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We refer to Jesus as Lord many, many times.
So the governor, he said he's going to govern.
He's going to govern, that's right. And that's the key to these verses, really, right here, is that the government shall be upon his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And all those names that he's going to be called, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, it all has to do with that governing, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So, Dorothy was talking earlier about the, she sent out this picture of this beautiful flower, and there was two atheists replied to it and said, well, you know, we're atheists. We don't believe in God, but we see the beauty of that flower. But the truth is, they don't see the beauty of that flower as we see Amen. The beauty of that flower.
Amen.
Because they see that beauty as the flower itself. We see that beauty as the beauty of God and the beauty of holiness. They can't see that. But we see this kingdom, the kingdom. What is the definition of a kingdom? Well, according to Daniel's 1828 or 68, I'll give 1828 dictionary, it says, especially as it pertains to God's kingdom, it is the government or universal dominion of God. He rules and reigns in his kingdom. It's also the inhabitants. It refers to the inhabitants or population that is subject to a king. We are subject to the Lord. We're subject to God. And we love it. We're not his subjects as unwilling slaves. But we are his subjects because we see in him all things that are good and right. And he has put the love of righteousness in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds. It is all the way through us, even in our bodies, as we bring ourselves under that control of God. It is a willingness within us. It's also the definition of government. What is it? It is to rule. It is the power of the supreme administration. Now in Romans chapter 14, again in verse 17, the apostle addresses this thing in this words, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's made up of the kingdom of God is made up, if you will, of these three things. Now, we'll get to that later, but as we think about this kingdom, you know, there have been kingdoms, right? Great kingdoms, such as Babylon. What about Medo-Persia?
Yeah.
What about Greece?
Yeah.
What about Rome? But even before these, there was the kingdom of Nimrod.
Yeah.
As we read in the third chapter, I'm sorry, not the third chapter, the tenth chapter of Genesis. Way back in Genesis. You know, everything began in Genesis, didn't it?
Amen.
Everything began in Genesis. It just is a marvel to me, amazing to me, that everything started with Genesis 1:1, right?
Yeah.
But here we have in Genesis chapter 10, beginning at verse 8, it says, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his what?
Kingdom.
Was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth, and Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. I believe, if memory serves me, one of the five times that God calls a city a great city.
Right.
But nevertheless, our point is that there have been all of these great kingdoms. Some, at least those, are great in men's eyes, but all are past, right?
Right.
Where is the kingdom of Babel? Where is the kingdom of Babylon? And so forth. Some have been long, like Rome. Rome lasted 1,000 years, as it were, from the 6th century B.C. to 447 A.D. And could reasonably argue to have lasted another 1,000 years in the Byzantine Empire, because Constantine moved the capital of Rome from Rome to Constantinople.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be arguably said that it lasted or still exists in the form of the Eastern Orthodox Church, because that was Constantine's church, and it bears much of his image today. And it could be further that that is seen. I'm talking about the soul, if you will, the mind of the Roman Empire is even in America today. What is America made up of? Or especially in its, is made up of all of those Western European countries that were once formed the Roman Empire. But some not so long. Take Greece, for instance. Now, of course, Greece existed before Alexander, but the greatness of the Grecian Empire was embodied in Alexander. But how long did Alexander live? About 33 years, I believe.
Yeah.
And then the kingdom split up in under four of his generals. Not very long. And there have been other kingdoms since then, such as Spain, France. How about England?
Yeah. Portugal.
Portugal.
All of them.
Huh?
All of them. And the thing about the British one is, and I guess this is kind of unique to them, but they land all around the world.
Yeah.
The sun never set on the British.
It set on the English Empire. It was a great nation.
It was
mighty.
Yeah.
It's amazing how it just kind of consumed the whole world. But once again, some long, some not so much, but they all had their particular glory. least in the eyes of man.
Amen.
But as we study history today, you know, we get caught up in it, don't we?
Sure.
Amazing. And it is, from a strictly earthly standpoint, earthly thinking, there have just really been some amazing kingdoms of this world. And there may be some to come yet, who knows?
Amen.
But if there is, then we'll all have one thing in common. The rise of the Third Reich. Right? Mm-hmm. They all rise, but they all fall. I don't care how mighty they are, they eventually all fall. But there is a kingdom, right?
Right.
That eclipses them all. The A kingdom is also the kingdom. JT, you mentioned that the, you kept saying the. What you're presenting this morning. And it's true.
Yes,
it's all thee. It's all one.
Right.
It's all of God. All of these kingdoms that have arisen, where did they originate? Hmm. They originated in the mind and in the will of God.
Amen.
For the powers that be, where did they come from?
Right.
They're all ordained of God.
Amen.
As has already been said, they serve one purpose. They serve God and His church. The kingdom of our Lord, this A kingdom, this the kingdom, is the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. Look over in Revelation. Chapter 11, first. Sometimes I think we miss all of this in the Revelation, but hopefully not all of it. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. He says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are what?
Mm-hmm.
Are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign how long? Forever and ever." There's not going to be any end of His kingdom.
Right. And that's really called the Lord.
Yes. And then in chapter 12 and verse 10, he says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night."
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God. Now, it speaks there as though, you know, the kingdom of God is yet to come, but nevertheless, the kingdom of God has always existed. It's always been His kingdom. It's always been His world.
Right.
It's always ruled. It's always reigned. Even as Christ reigns this very hour on the right hand of God and does everything according to His will, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that happens in this whole world that isn't according to the will of God and the purpose of God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We heard that this morning, didn't we? And it's all, again, according to His pleasure. Whatever God wants, He gets.
Right.
Without fail.
Exactly.
Without fail. His kingdom. And if we go back to Daniel, what a picture. What a wonderful, absolute picture that we have of the kingdom of our God. Now, again, he mentions some mighty kingdoms there, does he not?
Sure.
In Daniel chapter 2, we could read that whole thing, but for time's sake, we begin at verse, verse 31. Thou, O King, he's talking to who? Who is the king?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Thou, O King, sawest and behold a great image. This great image whose brightness was excellent. Now here again, we have a picture then that these kingdoms have their glory in the brightness. Now if you read over in Hebrews, again, we see that God's kingdom is the brightness. Christ is the brightness of the glory of God, and that He is the kingdom, as it were, because He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And by the way, He's coming again to show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So this great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee. Thereof was terrible. In other words, it was great in its appearance. This image, his head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron, part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Now, who is this? What kingdom is this? It can be nothing but the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God and of His Christ. It says, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now it's amazing that every kingdom that has arisen, that is their grand design, that is their purpose in living, if you will, is to rule the whole world. But there's only one. There's only one. It is the kingdom,
right,
that rules the world, and one day it's going to be manifest to all men. It's manifest to us now, and indeed we rule and reign with Christ this very day. Now, if you said that to most people, they would say, well, you need to be put into an institute because you're crazy. Well, you're delusional.
The world economic people would certainly tell us that.
Yeah. I mean, they look at us as nothing.
Right.
Really?
No, they do. Useless leaders.
But they little do they know that we reign and rule, even as Christ reigns and rules. But he goes on. Verse 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, Nebuchadnezzar. This is God said this. Nebuchadnezzar was, of all the kings of earth, Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest. He was the greatest. He was that head of gold. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom and power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, but it's inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces, then subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, now, here we go. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That's the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. What a remarkable passage of Scripture this is, and yet how many do not really believe the truth of it.
Right. No dispensationalists does.
No, they're still looking for a kingdom.
Yeah.
Just like they look for the Messiah.
Right.
But when he came, what happened? They missed it, didn't they?
Yeah.
That they totally missed him.
Right.
Well, when God brings forth his kingdom, what happened? They missed that too. And so many today that profess to be of the Christian persuasion, that they have missed the kingdom of God. They can't see the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's a spiritual kingdom. They miss it just like Pilate missed it, right?
Right.
Art thou a king? Thou sayest that I am a king. He couldn't deny it, could he?
Right.
Because if he could have had to deny the truth. And he could not deny the truth. And so, his kingdom is, it's forever. Who is there who cannot or will not glory in such a kingdom? But there are plenty, as we've already said, that there are plenty. Malachi chapter 1, in verse 6, he says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" In other words, when he says they have despised his name, they would not have him to rule over them. They did not own God as their king. And yet he says in verse 14, "But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and boweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the people of the Gentiles." Such were those that mentioned already, the chosen, elected people of God, in the sense that God set them apart as a nation. And yet, they despised him. That they were the wickedest. Listen to me. According to the Bible, they were the wickedest people on the face of the earth. God said they were worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. In comparison to them, even Jesus said, if the things that have been done in Israel when he walked the face of this earth had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long ago. Amazing, isn't it? There are multitudes and multitudes of people today that in the same way, they deny God in their actions. "This people draw nigh unto me with" what?
"Their lips."
"Their mouth." Yeah, their lips. But what about their heart? But their heart is not with them, is it? No. They actually despise God. But our God is a great King, and His kingdom is forever. Back over in the Psalms, in verse chapter 89, in verse 34, he says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven." How great is that? Psalm 93 says, "The Lord reigneth." That's present tense, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The psalmist understood it. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he shall have girded himself. The world also is fabulous and cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. In Isaiah chapter 2, in verse 2, Isaiah is just, he's just repeating what we read in Daniel. Now, Isaiah was before Daniel. And he's saying the same thing. Verse 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into. And then in Micah chapter 4 and verse 1, but in the last days, but in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established, right? But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Our God is a mighty God. He is forever, and he is exalted. We already read that in our verses. But in 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, in verse 11, the writer here declared, then David, who was David? Well, he's the one that the throne of God is a reflection of. It. Jesus is the root and the offspring of David from the earthly standpoint, from a physical, material way. Now, Jesus was before David, wasn't he? Before Abraham. Before Abraham was what?
I am.
But he reads, then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and palace and the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the dedicated things also for the courts of the priests and the Levites. In other words, this is the house representative of the house that God has built, and it is his kingdom. From Jerusalem, the law shall go forth, and all of the ruling of God shall be there. then God will be exalted in all of the earth. He will be exalted in everything, and especially in his capital. Where is he going to rule and reign from? From Jerusalem. He is the temple of him, and he is going to rule and reign there. In the Psalms, again, verse 9, chapter 97, back over here to the Psalms, chapter 97 in verse 9, it says, "For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth, thou art exalted far above all gods." In reality, then, there is absolutely no comparison, because there are no other gods, really, are there? Like there's no other gospel. There's only one gospel. There's only, JT again, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Right?
Yeah. And in you all.
Yeah. Who is in you all and over you all. And so we see the glory of God in all of these things. In the 108th Psalm, in verse 5, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens." That's pretty high, isn't it? "And thy glory above all the earth." We alone is majestic. You know, in all these kings that have been, you know what they call them? Your Majesty. Mm-hmm. But again, in reality, there's only one that is Your Majesty. There's only one that is majestic. And we could read this again in the 145th Psalm, in Hebrews 1 and 3, 8 and 1, and Jude 25, that He alone is majestic. His kingdom is briefly comprehended in Psalm chapter 24. Says the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. What was our description of a king or a kingdom? Talked about the inhabitants or population subject to a king. "For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates." Listen to this. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. So when it comes down to it, in what way do we properly honor God as King? Honor Him as He is worthy. In what way? What way do we glorify His King? Is it in meat and drink? Of what sort? Of what sort is His kingdom? It brings us then to Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not in what?
Meat and drink.
Meat and drink. But what is it? Righteousness and peace. Joy in the Holy Ghost. The Lord willing, will continue this next Lord's Day. And we'll be looking at this righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. How many times have I thought about this? What?
James 1 and 2 have counted all joy.
We
fall into trial and
tribulations.
That's hard to do.
It's impossible to do outside of the Spirit of God.
Right.
But pray about this. We'll begin to address these things. The kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about. These other kingdoms, there is no righteousness, there is no peace, there is no joy in the Holy Ghost. Pray about it.